Don't Give Up Radio Show with Jackie Wayans. Inspiration through word and song for you.
So your world is torn apart and you're left with a broken heart and you feel that there's no real healing inside. Oh no, but this time no.
Welcome to Don't Give Up Radio. I am your host, Jackie Wayans, and we are at our new time and place. Yes, we are now on weekends, Saturday and Sunday from 10 to 11 p.m. So we're giving you more shows coming at you, and that means more encouragement between Songs for the Midnight Hour that is Monday through Friday, and now we have Don't Give Up Radio on the weekends. So I'm really excited for that, and thank you for your support as we continue to grow. Please share the link, share the message, have people tune in. Word of mouth is the best to let other people know what you've heard that has excited you. Let them listen too. So, you know, many of us start off in life, and we have pretty good families, a pretty good start. You know, we're raised with a consciousness of God and faith. But somewhere along the line, we get discouraged. We get turned off. A lot of people get angry in the church, especially when they see their family mistreated and they're mistreated and hurt. And then they walk away. And when they walk away, they usually walk into things that will harm them even more because they're now unprotected, so to speak. And so tonight, we're going to speak with Jason Harris. You know, I often say that this show is not about celebrity. It is about the story. It is about the story. And so Jason Harris doesn't have a book. He doesn't have a CD. But what he has is a story, an awesome story about how God was able to take someone who was clearly going down a road of destruction and bring him to a place of wholeness.
He saw the best in me. When everyone else around me could only see the worst in me. I wish I had a witness tonight. Said he saw the best in me. I guess I'm the only one got this testimony. When everyone else around me could only see the worst in me. Can I tell y'all one more time? I said he saw the best in me. When everyone else around me could only see the worst in me. I wish I had a witness tonight. All I need is one. Hey!
He saw the best in me.
When everyone else around me, yeah.
When everyone else around me,
can only see
the worst in me.
Does anybody have that testimony? When folk walked you off, said you would never make it, what did he see?
He saw the best in me.
When everyone else around me, yes.
Can only see the worst in me.
Can I tell y'all one more thing? I just need to tell you one more thing. Listen to this. See, he's mine, and I am his. It doesn't matter what I did. He only sees me for who I am. Does anybody know that tonight? See, he is mine, and I am his. Said it doesn't matter what I did. See, he only sees me for who I am. Help me sing it. The girl said that he is mine. I wish I had a witness tonight. That may be somebody else's testimony. Help me say it, help me say it.
He saw the best in me.
Everyone else around me.
When everyone else around me could only see the worst in me.
Can I ask y'all one question? The question is simply this: what did he see?
He saw the best.
I can't get no help up in here. Because there are some folk in here that people have wrote you off. Said you would never amount to anything. Said that you would never end up being anywhere. But Myron, tell him one more time. What did he see?
He saw the best.
When mama said you would never be nothing. When aunties and uncles said that you'd never amount to anything. When daddy didn't come home anymore. He didn't look at you and say that you weren't going to make it. God looked at you and what did he see? What did he see?
He saw the best.
Yeah, yeah. Is there anybody in here tonight that's so very thankful that God did not write you off? That he did not throw you away? That he picked you up? What did he see?
The best.
I said, 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 what did he see?
The best.
Can I sing the verse one time? Listen to this, y'all. I love this. I love this. See. See, he's mine. And I'm his. It doesn't matter what I did. For he only sees me for who I am. Ooh, Lord. Yeah. He's mine and I am his. It doesn't matter what I did. He only sees me who I am. Sing it one time. We're going to go past this. He is mine. Oh, oh, oh.
He's mine and I'm his.
Ooh.
It doesn't matter what I did.
He only sees me for who I am.
He only sees me for who I am.
And the reason why he sees me for who I am, because he created me in his image and his likeness. He's mine.
He's mine.
I am his.
And I'm his.
It doesn't matter what I need.
It doesn't matter what I did.
He only sees me.
He only sees me for who I am.
He saw the best.
He saw the best.
See, he is mine, I am his. It doesn't matter what I did, for he only sees me for who I am. Oh, Lord,
he's mine,
I am his. It doesn't matter what I did.
Don't Give Up Radio Show with Jackie Wayans. Inspiration through word and song for you.
Welcome to the show. Glad to have you with us. Welcome.
Welcome. How you doing?
Very well. All is well on our end, and I'm looking forward. You know, I just got finished setting it up and letting people know that, you know, the show is not just about celebrity, it's about the story. And so you have a very strong story to share and to tell. And as is tradition with this show, we like to set it up by finding out, you know, how you came into this world. What was your upbringing, your family life like? Who were you in the beginning before the crisis period of your time started to show up?
I was a preacher's kid, pastor's kid. My mother and father both are in the ministry. My father's a bishop. My mother's a pastor, Pastor Michael E. Harris and Pastor Anita Harris. As a child, I grew up as a kid that was in the church, raised in the church. I had some good times and I had some bad times. The most fun part for me was being a kid and be able to sing, knowing that I was able to sing and started singing with a male quartet that was called Do Sounds of Harmony, which was some older teenager boys that was actually in high school and I was in elementary school. And so during that time, that was a great time. The discouraging part was seeing the things that I shouldn't have got to see was a lot of conflict in church, a lot of people doing different things they shouldn't be doing in church, people sleeping around with other people's wives and husbands and stuff. And we as kids, we've seen those type of things because we've seen those people out and about around in the neighborhood. So my outlook of church was beginning to get a bad taste because I thought that church was for people to be, everybody lived happy and everybody lived in a different way, in a way that everybody stayed focused. So far as church for me, it seemed like that it wasn't the place to be because they was doing more things in the church than the people that was on the street. The respect on the streets was different. The respect on the streets was a lot more better than the ones in the church.
There's a code on the street, and we'll get to that. But, yeah, there's a code where people honor, even if they're doing their stuff and doing their dirt, at least there's a code that goes along with that, right? So
right.
Now,
yes, ma'am.
With all that you saw and all that you were experiencing, you know, were you able to communicate with your parents or anyone around you about the, you know, the conflicts and kind of try to resolve those emotions that were brewing inside of you?
No, ma'am, I didn't. Because my mom and dad didn't stay so focused on church, I pretty much felt like at that time I was raising myself. Because a lot of times in life, they get so tied up in what they're doing, which is a positive thing, but at the same time, it was causing problems. Didn't know the kind of anger that I was carrying as their son, didn't know the kind of emotions that I was carrying, because nobody ever took the time to ask those type of questions. So it led into other things. You know, when I got 14 years old, I got introduced from a friend of mine to sell weed. And so I decided,
okay.
Hey.
Hold on a second, though. I have a question for you.
Sure.
You know, with your family, it does tie into what you're saying quite a bit, the question, because being introduced to selling weed, you know, people don't just up and decide to do that one day, even if there's problems in the church, right? So what was going on financially with your family, with you, that made you think that this was a direction to go in?
I seen my mom and them struggle. I seen them go through losing cars, getting evicted, having to file bankruptcy several times, having to borrow money from people to make ends meet because they wanted to give full-time ministry their all, and it didn't matter at what cost. Far as financially, it cost us a lot. So it inspired me to say, you know what, I don't want to live like this. I don't want to be where I had to struggle, where you have to figure out what we're going to eat the next day or have to borrow food from a neighbor until we can get enough money to, you know what I'm saying, to get food for our own house, you know. So my thing was, is I didn't want to live like that. I never see myself being rich or famous, but I wanted to be where a point where I would live comfortable that was enough for me.
Okay, so now that leads us right into this space where a friend of yours, introduced you into selling weed. Now, was he a school friend? How did you know this young man?
We were actually school friends. And I seen him get money. I seen him having a lot of money. He never was broke. I never seen him ask his parents for any kind of money. Anywhere we went, he had money. And he had $200 or $300. Well, and at that time, that was a lot of money for a kid to have. So I was like, man, how are you getting this kind of money? He was like, man, I'm doing this, man. I could turn you on. And he actually introduced me in selling weed, showing me how to waste stuff out and how to distribute it. And I started selling to neighborhood friends, some adults that belonged to the church, to be matter of fact. To be honest with you, I sold to a lot of people that belonged to my father's church that were adults. And so from the age 14 to 18, that's what I did. I sold weed.
Did your family find out? Did they have any suspicion to know what you were doing?
They didn't find out until I was 16 years old. My father came in my room and actually found marijuana in my room in baggies. He says, what are you doing with this? And asked me and told me that he was going to get rid of it. So he flushed it all down the toilet and told me that he didn't want to ever see this again. He punished me, of course, and told me that, if you ever caught me.
I was saying he punished you, but I was saying it was, you mean a good old-fashioned spanking? That's what you meant
by
punish?
Yes, I didn't hear you. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am, he did. Yes, he did. He did whoop me, and then he also grounded me from where I couldn't go outside and so forth for a whole month.
And so he really tried to keep you off the streets and kind of limit your outside interaction. So how did that fly? How did that work? I mean, usually that's when tensions tend to fly.
Yes, it actually did. It actually caused me to be more angry, more stubborn, more bitter. You know, it caused more tension between us. Mm-hmm. By the time I was 17, we got in several confrontations physically, fighting, to where when I turned 18, he told me I had to leave if I didn't want to abide by his rules. But it didn't stop me from selling weed, even when he put me on a punishment and stuff like that, because I still could get it at school and I could still sell it at school. I kept it more hidden than anything.
And basically, he gave you the speech that most parents would give is, if you can't respect my house and you can't respect my rules, then you can go.
That's right. That's right. I was at the age of 18. Nothing's wrong with that. Taught me a lot because I had to grow up fast. And so I didn't stop doing what I was doing. And I actually got introduced to more.
Well, you know, sometimes we can be taken out of our parents' home, but
sure,
we still have some kind of communication with them or, you know, relationship mm-hmm. with them. Is that the case with you?
No, ma'am. I actually didn't speak to my parents for 2 years. So I didn't speak to them until I was 20 years old. I had lost relatives, just lost totally. And we was in the same area. That's what's so crazy. We was in the same area.
Wow.
I mean, we was in an area, not a big town, but in an area that it was any chance that I could pass them or run into them.
Jason, you were saying that this was a time where things mm-hmm. became even more increased because you now started to sell harder drugs like cocaine and
correct.
Heroin and get into deeper things. So talk to us about those years, your lifestyle and, even in the area of Kentucky, how you were known
right.
and considered.
Right. Okay. Basically, I became... After learning how to do it, I had some older gentlemen that was friends of mine. We called them OGs, original gangsters, that showed me how to make real money. But not only that, I bought my first house at 19 years old.
You slow it down for me. You're saying now that you started you know, selling on a big time scale. In fact, you became one of the biggest dealers in the Kentucky area. You actually had people working for you and even got into organized crime a little bit. So I want you to develop that story about who you were, who you became, what did life look like for you during that time?
During that time, a lot of things took place, and what happened is I had an OG by the name of, they called him Q, and I had another OG, they called him Big Money. And between those two guys, those guys actually showed me the ropes of how to flip money and different things like that. Well, they got locked up. They went to prison and wound up getting life. And when they got life, everything that was surrounded around them, everything that was surrounded around me, it became mine. I became the big man because they had taught me everything that I knew. In the process of that, I took over pretty much, as you could say, the empower, because nobody else was left. I was the man that ran and did a lot of connections. I bridged a lot of different people together, which caused me to take over a lot of different cities over in this area, which is counties. Like in this area, we have small towns. So Lexington is like, say, for instance, New York, and then you have some surrounding like areas around it. So all those areas around me, I became well known. I had four or five cars. I had, like I said, I had a had two houses by that time at the age of 23. I'd already had two houses, and I kept $20,000 in the house, maybe $5,000 or $6,000 cash on me, and most of the time I put $30,000 or $40,000 in the bank in somebody else's name.
Wow. Okay. Well, I guess that's what they call living large. What I'm curious to know about, though, is as you're going through all this and doing all this and you're reaching your goal of not having to struggle financially, but you're also disconnected from your family, and you're disconnected from your roots in terms of being growing up in the church. Did you ever experience any conflict inside yourself during that period of time?
I really did. I started to feel like, man, I'm missing something. And I kept saying, man, it seemed like I got everything in the world. I had cars, I had women, I had money. I could go anywhere in the world that I wanted to see. I had no kids at the time. It seemed like something was missing. And for the longest time, you know, even when people talked about God and stuff, I wouldn't get angry. I would just listen. I would pause, you know, or try to stay away from those people that talked about God, because I knew that the mindset that I was in, I wasn't ready for that. You know what I mean? You know, so I was like, wow, what do I do? You know what I'm saying? Where's my situation? Where do I go? You know what I mean?
Well, you know, the Lord has a good way of getting us ready when we think we need more time or we think we're not ready yet. And he actually allowed you to be in a situation that started to cause you to question your life yourself. You were actually dealing a lot of drugs to a particular couple, and it started to go awry. Talk to us about that situation.
Right, and so what happened was, after so long of being the big man, as they would call, they called me J-Kid, because I was the kid that on the block that was connected with some of the majorest people in the city, you know, and it caused me to catch a case, because I hooked up with a couple that brought big quantities of drugs. And because they owed me money, they owed me actually $20,000 at the time. And so to get my money, the anger and rage that I had, because I had a reputation, I wanted to keep that reputation, I decided to take everything and rob their house. Without them being at home, I walked in their house and took all their furniture and had a yard sale, sold all their furniture to get at least some of my money back. And doing that, they turned me in and built a case against me, and caused me to wind up sitting in jail for a little while. And in that process, that's when my life began to change, when I said I'm tired. Did it change right away? It did change right away. As soon as I got out and was out on bond and so forth.
Well, even before you were out on bond, even before you were out on bond, right, because you said it caused you to pause. And yes, you're right,
right.
You know, we don't change right away, but we get these wake-up calls. And one of the things you notice, people that you thought would always be in your corner, they dropped off. They started to turn their back on you. Talk to us about what that felt like and that awareness.
Yeah, I was sitting in jail, and the time I was in jail, everybody that was rolling with me, that was riding with me, shall I say, piggyback or riding off of me, anything I wanted to give them, and as long as I was doing for people, people were surrounding me. But reality hit when I got locked up and I didn't know how long I was going to do. And so my lawyer said, you might be looking at 10 to 15 years. That's when everybody disappeared. And I found out that I was by myself. But in reality, I really wasn't by myself. But physically, I was by myself.
Right, right. And your father actually gave you some words of wisdom during that time. It seemed like more hard love coming from his direction. But what did he say to you?
He told me I had to do this thing by myself. He said, you know, we can't bail you out. You can bail yourself out, but you can't bail yourself out and think you're going to be free from your situation, because the situation is always going to linger in you until you actually get free for real. That was his exact words to me.
Right, right.
And so when that happened, even when I got free, I still wasn't free. You know what I mean?
Right, exactly.
And,
That's actually safe, you know. And you had the money to have lawyers.
Mm-hmm.
You had the money to pay your bond and to get out. But like
Correct.
You said, being out free doesn't make you free indeed. And you had to discover
Correct.
What that was like. And along this, you also started to realize that you need to slow down because your friends were disappearing. What were happening to some people that were around you? What was happening in their lives?
One of my friends, a dear friend of mine, a real dear friend of mine, we called him Too Short. He wound up getting killed. Got shot 18 times outside of a club that I was actually supposed to be with him that night, but I didn't get to make it with him because actually I was actually tied up with a young lady that night. And I think if I had actually been there, I probably would have been dead today if I actually went to the club and with him that night. So I knew somebody was praying for me. And mm-hmm. so that was more of a wake-up call for me than anything because I didn't want to keep – my dad kept telling me, it's either two ways you're going to walk into church, boy. You're either going to get rolled in or you're going to walk through.
Mm-hmm.
But it's up to you what choice that you make. You choose which way you want to come through the doors.
Wow, that's powerful words. That's powerful words to think on. But even still, yet you weren't quite there. You're seeing friends die.
Right.
You're seeing friends getting locked up. You do realize it's a time for change, and you need to slow things down. But
right.
not necessarily stop things, but slow things
right.
down. But your mom.
Correct.
Your mom stepped in, and she actually helped direct you to someone who would be a crucial point in your life.
Right.
Before we get to that, I want to ask this question because I'm still reflecting on what your dad said to you. And, you know, a lot of kids now and young adults that are involved with drugs, they don't actually even see themselves living to 25, 30, because they just haven't seen it. Like, their peers are either in jail or dead, and they've accepted that
right.
as a reasonable lifestyle. What would you
right.
say to them in regards to that mindset to pop them out of that, and that life has to end at this young age, that's the only recourse that they have?
You know, I would say to a lot of young people now that because when you say, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. A lot of times they don't hear it, but if I was I would say to them now, like I say to a lot of them, is that it's not even worth it. It's better to live with a peace of mind, get you a job, work hard, get a steady income. That those things is temporarily. And I use the still same that my dad gives me, what he told me, the same exact words. You're either going to walk in the church or you're going to get rolled in. Which one are you going to choose? This is a dead end road right here. This is nothing that has no future in what you got. You know, you're either going to wind up in prison or dead. How you want you, didn't you want to see yourself live with kids, your kids grow up, your kids' kids, grandkids, you know, live a life of peace, you know? And a lot of them are so angry and enraged with a lot of disappointment and stuff like that that's going on in their life, they don't even understand. But my encouragement is to them is that it's not even worth the try, you know, because what you have to offer, you could be successful. You take your anger and build it into a positive. That's what I learned. I took my anger and built it into a positive. I took everything that I everything, because I did, everything I did was out of anger, out of upset, disappointment. Take that anger and put it in a, move it into a positive energy. And when I say that, I mean go and do something creative. Get your, put your mind to work instead of your hands or a gun, or putting a gun in your hand trying to kill somebody and then try to make your mind work in prison. No, take the time while you got it and make your mind work now, you know? Make your mind work to where you could do something positive. Build something. Be the next Gates, you know? Build your website, you know? Be creative. Don't just get caught up in rap music. Write a book, you know? Different stuff like that. You know, that's what I would tell them, you know, now, because your future don't hold anything. This world's going to end if we don't make a turnaround now.
Absolutely. And the world is headed in that direction. And we all need to be prepared, and we all need to be ready. So when we come back, we will find out exactly how God started to prepare J.J. Harris for what he had for him.
Lift your worship.
Travel near or far.
Now raise it up and say, for your glory.
For your glory.
wanna be where you are. Gotta be where you are. Come on, raise it before I'm saying,
wanna be where you are.
Gotta
be where you are.
I wanna be where.
Wanna be where.
Don't Give Up Radio Show with Jackie Wayans. Inspiration through word and song for you.
So, Jason, you are at the point in your life where you were thinking about making changes, but not quite there. And your mom actually introduced you to a certain pastor that she thought you could relate to. And you went.
Sure.
Now, my first question is this. You know, what... Why do you think you went?
You know what? I was tired. I slowed down in the streets. I wasn't moving as much. A friend of mine by the name of Shad Wilson had just got out of prison, and he said, man, I don't want this lifestyle anymore, you know. And I was like, man, you know, you're right. I was like, but, man, how are we going to get out? We've been doing this all our lives, you know. And I got a phone call from my mom, and she says, you know what? I feel like the Lord is really telling me that it's your time to come out of what you're in, but you need some help. She says, and how to get that help is basically I've got a friend of mine that just moved in the area from California that is a pastor, and his name is Pastor Larry Weathers, and I want you to go and check him out at his services. I'll find out the location and tell you. She told me the location, and I went and heard him preach. I had never heard a preacher preach like this before in all my life. His style of preaching was unbelievable. He broke down David and Goliath that I had no way I've never heard it. I've heard this story 1,000 times, but I never heard it that way. And when he told his story about David and Goliath, about the giant, and how the ant was in the giant, and that's what made up the giant, I was like, I got to hear this man again. Well, I got hooked. After hearing him, I kept going, even though I was dibbing and dabbing, I kept going. Then he asked me one day, he says, come sit and talk to me. He invited me to his home, and he let me talk, and I never had anybody offer to sit down and talk to me. And if I had somebody to talk to me then, maybe some of the choices that I made wouldn't have happened. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so when he sat down and talked to me, it opened up so many doors, emotions, tears. You know, I began to really feel what my father said about being free.
Mm.
And in the process, I got a job, first time working in forever, got a job. And one day he called me while I was on my job, and him began to build a relationship. And he says, hey, I want you to start traveling and become an armor bearer. And I was so honored and intrigued by it, you know what I mean? That's when my life, I said, I really got to make a full change, you know, because he accepted that. He accepted me for who I was. It didn't matter my situation, but took me in and says, you know what, I'm going to help you make this change. And that's when
wow.
I started making my change. I came as armor bearer for 4 years. I came as armor bearer for 7 years. I got called into the ministry. And when I got called into the ministry, right before I got called into the ministry, I got remarried because I was married before. So I got remarried. I've been now married for 4 years. I'm now in ministry. I've been preaching for 4 years. I have a son that's 4, and I have a daughter that's 9 years old. And I would never, ever change the walk, steps, anything that I have been through in my life, just to know that I've been successful at this point in my life.
What would the man today say to his younger self, his 14-year-old self? What would you say to that young boy that would redirect the path that he went on?
I would say, free yourself. Free yourself by opening up to somebody instead of walking around bundled up and not letting nobody know what you really feel. Because if I had told somebody how I really felt and got the help that I needed, it might not have happened. But at the same time, for those experiences, it's made me the man that I am too today. You know, I'm blessed. I'm truly blessed. It brings tears to my eyes because I'm so blessed.
Mm-hmm.
I've had so many opportunities so people can actually see the change in me. Even my kids mm-hmm. that don't know my story. But people that have really seen me look for me and look up to me. People don't even know. I have kids hit me up on Facebook. You're my inspiration. Makes me feel on my bad days 100 because I made this change and I'm sold out to Christ. So tough. Nothing in this world can change my mind. And I know what I'm carrying. I know who I am. All that time, I did not know who I was. And the biggest thing is I was trying to find my identity. But I didn't find my identity until 4 years ago, who I really was. And that's the truth. Because a lot of kids don't know who they are. A lot of kids don't know who they are today. They don't know their identity. So they're trying to find who they are.
Yeah.
And so the key is trying to find out who you really are. What do you really like? What do you really care for? without somebody telling you what you care about and what you're going to like. You know what I'm saying? Spending time with myself, I began to really, really love myself to where I felt confident enough to even be myself, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think you're saying so much to anyone who's listening who needs to be free. Because, you know, it can sound really nice. It sounds good, all the money and the cards and travel wherever you want, you have to want for everything, but you lost everything else that mattered about life. And so, you know, there's many ways that the same gifts and talents that drug dealers use to sell drugs, they can use those same gifts and abilities to do legitimate businesses. And in our society today, as long as you have a computer and a cell phone, you can be an entrepreneur and do completely legal businesses that benefit your community, that build up family, that build build up instead of break down. Drugs, it's the lie is that drugs is the only way to earn that. And that is actually deception. It's a complete complete lie. What would you want young people to know about who God is? Because, you know, when you started out, you got this false perception that because of what you saw in the church, what you saw about people. And that perception still exists today. You know, people have bad experiences and they walk away with a sour taste in the mouth. And they let people define who God is. So what would you say to someone about God?
I would tell them, trust God for yourself. My favorite scripture is, trust in the Lord with all thy heart, lean not to thy own understanding, but acknowledge God in all his ways. It's in Proverbs. And the reason why I say that is because people get focused on the wrong thing in church. And when you get focused on the wrong thing, that's what caused a lot of people to backslide, a lot of people to fall short of God's glory, because of the simple fact that they fall short of really focusing on the Lord. Don't focus on the preacher, the woman, man, or woman of God that's in the pulpit, or man and woman of God that's in the audience. Focus, get a relationship, build a relationship with the Lord yourself. Find out what the Lord can do for you. You know what I mean? Not only for what the Lord can do for you, but what you can do for the Lord. You know? A lot of people get it twisted because they want people, they always want God to do something for them. But what about what can you do for the Lord? What can you, what kind of servant can you be for the Lord in better times? You know?
Absolutely. That's very powerful. Very powerful indeed. Because you quoted Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and when I first accepted the Lord as my Savior, that was my favorite verse. And if you're listening and you're trying to wrap your head around, we're not just talking about someone who made up in their mind that they were just going to change their lives and they decided to go to church, because that can be a misconception.
Right.
The church is not a building. The church is the body of Christ, made up of believers, people who have said, yes, Jesus, I choose you. I choose to accept the gift that you gave on the cross.
Right.
And I often talk on this show about Romans 10 and 9, that if you can speak with your mouth that Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And that's where this relationship that you now have kind of comes into play. And then all the actions make sense, right? But if you don't have that first, you can go to church from sun up to sundown, and what you get is an example of those people in the church that you were dealing with, that you were selling drugs to, that were out there, you know, cheating on their spouses and doing all that, because they never had a transformation. They never had an encounter with Jesus Christ for themselves.
Right.
And in terms of, you know, what people say about hypocrisy, I mean, human beings by nature are hypocrites. Whether you're in school, in a job, you're going to deal with hypocrisy. But the one place that you need not give up on is the body of Christ and your own family. Those two things, you know, you stick to like glue, because at the end of the day, you want to have that complete fulfillment that only God can give his own children.
Right. That's right. Good.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your story. Now, I mentioned at the top of the broadcast that you don't have a book or a CD or any of that stuff, but do you think you'll ever write your story? Do you think you'll ever put it out there in any kind of a way?
I did. I am. I'm actually working on some things now because it had been sparking to me to do that and encouraged to me to do that. So I'm thinking about writing my own book and write a book called You're Not By Yourself.
There you go. There we go.
Yes,
we think we are, but we are not. Tell people where they can connect with you if they want to, you know, connect with you on Facebook or Twitter. What's your handle?
Yes.
How can they find you?
They can connect me on Facebook. I'm just under my name, Jason Harris. You can connect with me on Twitter, Elder Jason Harris. You can connect with me on Instagram. I'm under Instagram as well as Elder Jason Harris. Any way you want to connect. I'm located in Kentucky, in Georgetown, Kentucky.
Wonderful. Well, thank you for being with us and sharing your story. I really appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, ma'am. I thank you for giving me the opportunity.
My pleasure. That's what the show is here for. For those of you who are listening, I want you to continue to be your own best hero, because the greatest hero of all said that you were worth it when he gave his life for you at Calvary on that cross. And so until then, be encouraged and keep listening. Songs for the Midnight Hours, Monday through Friday, is there to just realign you and get you refocused every night before you go to bed, so you can wake up the next day and just live the life and walk the life that God has designed you to. God bless.
Yeah. God bless.
Total adoration of to you. You reign on the throne, for you are God and God alone. Because of you my cloudy days are gone. I can sing to you this song. I just want to say that I love you more than anything. I lift my hands in total adoration to you. You reign on the throne, for you are God and God alone. Because of you my cloudy days are gone. I can sing to you this song. I just want to say that I love you more than anything. Love me in your arms. You are my shelter from the storm. I
don't know how many of you really love him today, but I love him with my whole heart, my mind, and my soul, everything that is.